independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Billy Devaney will be joining us in a few minutes, former NFL executive, longtime NFL executive, former general manager with the St. Louis Rams. A lot of people are texting in asking about D'Amico Ryans. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Billy Devaney joining us now on the HR&P guest line. Billy, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us. Obviously, in Houston, the big story is, what do the Texans do now? I want to start, though, with your thoughts on Nick Caserio firing David Culley. It's been reported that they're going to have to pay him $22 million for his one year of service because of the future guarantees that were attached to the contract. Do you think Culley should have been fired? And how will ownership view all that money they're going to have to spend on a one-year coach?
Yeah, I tell you, that was really a weird situation. I don't know, guys. I mean, you're a heck of a lot closer to it than I. What was the arrangement when he was hired? Was it when the hiring was made? Was it with the understanding that it was going to be basically a bridge guy for a year? But then I think that's a hell of a bridge for 5 years. That's a long ass bridge to walk, and a lot of money that for a 1 year guy. So I don't know what the thinking was. Everybody recognized what a good guy David is. Okay, the whole league knows he's a classy guy. You would have to think he understood what he was getting into. I hear the stories about Nick being on the headset and communicating during games. That, I'm assuming, I mean, something like that is that's pretty unique, to say the least. And that should have been talked about during the hiring process. And if it was, and Culley signed off on it, then nobody should be upset about it, because that's, and then if he didn't, listen, the checks are being cashed during the season, and if Culley felt that the situation just was kind of like he was losing control, or he didn't have the control that he wanted, he didn't have to keep cashing those checks. So that part of it was his choice. So I don't know. It's a whole thing is kind of weird. Listen, he's a great guy, but it obviously took everybody by surprise when he was named the head coach. He really wasn't on anybody else's radar. So I hope they, I don't need to tell you what a great fan base that is. I just hope they get the guy that they want. There's some daggum stability. That's the biggest thing they just need to establish. They've already set their course. I mean, it's going to be New England's way of doing things, and that's fine. There's different ways to get this thing done, but settle on a guy, and obviously more than a year, and there needs to be just stability through the organization at this point.
And Billy, you touched on one of the questions I wanted to ask you about, because we all hear about the Patriots way, and if it was successful, a lot of people would be on board with it. But it seems like from the revolving door of quarterbacks that have Patriots ties they brought in, even under Bill O'Brien, to what where they're dealing with now with Caserio and Easterby, that it just is something that's a negative stigma that's attached to this franchise. And with your experiences as a general manager, you obviously have to have a level of communication and a relationship with whoever you bring in, because it is your choice. But is it safe to say that you think that, and everybody else thinks, they're only going to interview guys that know the Patriots way, that have been through the Patriots circle, as opposed to some of the guys that I feel like they might be overlooking, like a Byron Leftwich, or guys that should get more of a look, because look, they've just earned their place regardless of whether they coached or played for the Patriots or not.
Right. No, and it's a real valid point that you make. You're right. You touched on it. I mean, the key is the communication part. This is a tough ass league now, guys. It's a win games on Sunday. I mean, it is tough. And if you don't have your act together as an organization, and you've got internal problems, and there's infighting and stuff going on, you don't have a prayer to compete in this way. You got to have an organization on the same page. The communication has to be there. Caserio is a sharp guy. I mean, some of his decisions may not have been very popular and are still open to question. A lot of them. But he kind of knows what he's doing. Now, is he going to make the right choice? I don't know. That remains to be seen. The way that I said, I worked with a couple of guys at the Falcons. I'll tell you a real quick story. And we're doing this seminar for a bunch of Arthur Blank's businesses. And somebody raised their hand and asked, there were two guys that were at New England, said, could you explain to me, just in the short version, we hear a lot about the Patriot Way. Can you just explain what exactly is the Patriot Way? And they looked at each other and kind of laughed, and they said, you go. And I said, okay, I'll go. You know the Patriot Way? Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's the Patriot Way. End of story. There's no Patriot Way. There's one guy responsible for the Patriot Way. It's Bill Belichick. So if you get a guy, I'm not saying another Bill Belichick, but if you get the face of the franchise that you're comfortable with and is a good, solid coach and there's communication throughout, then you're on to something. You're giving yourself a fighting chance. Now, to come up with that guy, you've seen people leave New England, coaches and administrators. It hasn't worked out real good in other places. So far in my mind, there's only one Belichick, and nobody's come close to that.
Billy Devaney is our guest on the HRMP guest line, longtime NFL executive, former general manager for the Rams as well. You speak a little bit to the attractiveness of the job. You mentioned Caserio on the headset is unique. I imagine for people that don't know Nick Caserio or are unaware of this, that's going to be a little bit of a situation they look at and wonder, okay, what's going on there? Might even dismiss a few candidates from the potential pool. The roster's not in a great spot. It's better than it was a year ago when David Culley took the job, but not much better. What's the attractiveness of the job? And since it's not that attractive, how does that limit some of the candidates that could potentially be available for this job?
Yeah, with Nick being on the headset, you know, I understand, you know, that was the case in New England, but it was more as an educational part of the job, more so than Nick contributed anything on game day. It didn't sound like that was the case in Houston. The only thing I could think of, guys, there are a few coaches in the league that do have their analytics person live on their headset. And the guy's usually in the background, and the head coach may say, Joe, you know, this is what we're looking at down the road. Just keep this in mind. So there's some communication with the analytics guys with certain teams. Maybe that's what Nick was doing. He was playing the role of the analytic guy. But here's where I kind of have a problem with it. The optics are terrible. Here you got the general manager and the boss, and that's who's communicating with the head coach. The locker room needs to know who is our guy? Who is the guy? Who's the face of the franchise? Who's our boss? And, you know, last year, looking from the outside, you had Nick and you had David Culley. The player, you know, the locker room's like, okay, who's really calling the shots around here? That head coach needs to be the guy. Those players have to know their future and their play time. Lies in the hands of that head coach. And everybody else in the organization is there to support the head coach. There can't be two guys. There's no, you know, for a lot of reasons, but especially because of the players in the locker room. They have to know they're coming out of that tunnel. They're going to fight their butts off for that head coach. That's their guy. So I think if they're, you know, having somebody on the headset, if it's an analytic guy, get an analytic guy up there and get the general manager back in the general manager's box or the press box, wherever he sits, and get him away from the head coach on game day.
Billy, okay, we evaluated Culley, and you touched on it a little further. Let's evaluate Nick Caserio from the standpoint of a lot of people giving him a pass because he didn't have a pick until the third round. A lot of people saying, you know what, he's got to get his feet wet. But what he did in his first year getting his feet wet was he just basically was giving away low-round picks for players that never even sniffed the roster and in some cases were gone as quick as you brought them in terms of deals he made for 7th and 6th and 5th round picks or giving away guys like Mark Ingram for picks that you may or may not even be around when that pick becomes available and it's going to be worthless. How much can you evaluate based on what Caserio did in his first year with limited resources?
Yeah, you know what? I would say on the whole, I'd give him a passing grade. I'd also give David Culley a passing grade because the roster is not that talented. Let's be honest. I don't want to say they're in the rebuilding stage, but you know what, guys? The biggest issue that I had with the team, and I don't think you go back to training camp. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there was any great expectations that this was a playoff team.
And Billy, by the way, don't worry about saying that we already said it. They were in full rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild would be a compliment.
Yeah. Okay, then fill me in, guys. And that's great. If you're in that mode, then how do you start the season? I think they were the second oldest roster in the NFL, and they've been first for a while. But at worst, it was the second oldest roster. If you're going to be in rebuild, you can't have that many old guys on your team. If you're rebuilding, okay, that's fine. We get it. But let's get some of these. We got to get some young guys some playing time and start this process. That's where I think they're behind right now. Is that they're, you know, if they were in full rebuild mode and there weren't enough young players getting experience last season.
Well, but Caserio still gets a pass because, you know, he would trade for a guy and then cut him the next week. He would trade for another guy and give up a sixth or seventh round pick, and then the guy wouldn't make the roster coming out of camp. And so, you know, a lot of people, including us, were like, what's he really doing here? And what happens when he gets a full stable of draft picks? Are we to expect more of the same, or are we supposed to feel confident that this year, when he gets all these high picks, he's going to know what to do with them?
Right. No, that's valid. I'm with you. And when I say give him a pass, it's barely, guy. I was maybe the better thing to say the jury's still out. Maybe that's more fair. I don't want to crush him yet because there's a lot going on at that place. There are a lot of things that he screwed up, and I would hope that he'd be the first to admit that. I would just say let's give him another shot before we say that he's a total failure. Not real excited about it, but I would still say I don't want to flunk him right now. Let's just say a barely passable grade at this point.
And Billy, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, what's the value you see in Deshaun Watson with everything that's happened? I mean, the situation from the get-go looked like everybody's saying it could be the biggest haul in NFL history for a trade. And then obviously with everything that happened off the field and otherwise, people's opinions changed. What do you think they can conceivably get for him this offseason or whenever they trade him?
Yeah, you know, and again, I don't know. It probably depends on what, I don't even say his legal situation, but what's the stance the NFL is going to take? You would think there's going to be some kind of suspension coming from the NFL. Is it going to be three games? Is it going to be half the season? I think that will, as much as anything, determine what his value is going to be to another team. So it's like a lot of things with Deshaun right now. Everything's in a holding pattern until he gets the legal part taken care of and straightened out, and then the league takes its stance. I think that, and just on a personal, it's not a big thing, but I was with the Falcons when and Deshaun went to high school right down the road from the Falcon facility. So he's a local kid, mm-hmm. and he's at Clemson now, and he's a star. You know, God dang, it's Deshaun Watson. He worked at our. Maybe you heard the story. He worked at our training camp over the summer before he went back to Clemson one year. And this is as big as, in this area, you know, he's as big as a star as you can be. He was so low-key and such a normal kid. He worked, he'd be cleaning cleats at 2 o'clock in the morning. He worked in the equipment room for training camp. He's washing jocks and towels at getting up 4 o'clock in the morning for practice. The players, Matt Ryan and those guys, are like, this kid's incredible. He didn't say crap, and all he does is grind, and he's just like one of the workers. His family would come by, just the neatest family you could ever meet. So I hope whatever it is, for everybody's sake, I know the kid at his core is a good kid, is a really good kid. I hope for the Texans, their point of view, everybody involved, I hope it gets straightened out.
Billy, put your general manager's hat on one more time for me and say, if you're picking up the phone right now with Caserio, knowing what you know, how does that conversation start? Are there clauses that say if butts, candies, nuts, if this does come to fruition or not? Are there, you know, contingency plans, or are you just looking for a bargain right now?
No, you know what? I wouldn't be looking for a bargain, man. The guy's so good. Now you have to put some protection in, of course, for just throw out a team, maybe Miami or just say Miami. You'd have to have some protection in there just in case you. God forbid he's suspended for a year he's suspended for six games. There would have to be some clauses in there to protect the team that he's going to for whatever was coming down the pike.
Billy, great stuff. Yeah. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes, and really appreciate your insight that you were able to provide.
No, man. Hey, Joel, relax, man. You got this game. You got this game Saturday night in the bag, brother. You're in good shape.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Billy. That's the first thing I can believe in that I can have hope for.
All right, no, it'll be good. Thank you, guys. Always good.
All right, you got to look to catch up with him again down the road. Billy Devaney, a longtime NFL executive, spent a few years as the general manager with the St. Louis Rams.